This afternoon, we're going to be looking at Lord's Day 33, and as we do so, I'd like to read, first of all, from John 15. John 15 is Jesus teaching about himself as the true vine, and so we'll read the first 17 verses, the first 17 verses of John 15. Hear now God's word, a revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you love me, keep my commandments. You will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. So as we look at John 15, let's also look at Lord's Day 33. Lord's Day 33. Lord's Day 33 from the Heidelberg Catechism, we're in that portion dealing with man's gratitude. And as we look at man's gratitude, we come to this section dealing with genuine repentance or conversion. And it asks, what is involved in genuine repentance or conversion? And it answers two things: the dying away of the old self and the coming to life of the new. Now it's going to unpack these two ideas, these two things of what's involved in genuine repentance. What is the dying away of the old self? It is to be genuinely sorry for sin, to hate it more and more, and to run away from it. What is the coming to life of the new self? It is wholehearted joy in God through Christ, and a delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to. Last question and answer, what do we do that is good? Only that which arises out of true faith, conforms to God's law, and is done for his glory. And not that which is based on what we think is right or on established human tradition. When we talk about conversion or genuine repentance, as the Heidelberg Catechism sets it forth, it's using the classical sense of the word. Often today, conversion means something a little bit different. Today, conversion is regarded as that work of regeneration, the work that we considered in question and answer 21, that the Holy Spirit creates faith in us. To be regenerated is to be born again. And sometimes we ask the question of those who claim to be Christians, are you converted? And it's a question about have you been born again? Has the Spirit worked in your life in such a way that you've changed and you've been brought to life from one who is dead? You've been changed from light or from darkness into light. And regeneration is dealt with in that portion of the Heidelberg Catechism that is dealing with God's grace. Remember, we touched on that in question answer 21, the Spirit produces or the Spirit creates faith in us. It's a deep-rooted assurance that is created in us by the Holy Spirit through the gospel. Again, in Lord's Day 25, where does faith come from? The Holy Spirit produces it by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it through the administration of the sacraments, that the Spirit is active in bringing that faith of regeneration. But here, what we're dealing with Lord's Day 33 is the daily conversion. Daily conversion, which is the outworking, which is really the fruit of regeneration. This true faith, which flows from regeneration, is a trust in God's word and a realization that we are right with God. It's what Jesus speaks about when he's talking with the disciples in John 15, and he says, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." That is that work of regeneration, that as Christ has chosen them to be his followers, yet he's cleansed them by the Spirit's working with the word to cause them to believe in maybe a small way in the work of Jesus Christ. They don't understand the full import of it, but they've been born again. And Jesus can say, "You're already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." But then he says, "But there's more," and that's what we're considering this afternoon. And I think it's beautiful how it ties in with our morning messages that we've looked at in the past couple of Sundays dealing with the parables of the seed. That's a good analogy for what the Heidelberg Catechism is getting at in Lord's Day 33. If I plant orange seeds, I can expect an orange tree to grow. I don't plan to get apples from orange seeds, nor vice versa. Do I plan to get oranges from apple seeds? The Christian life is like that. It starts with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's work in regeneration, planting the seed of the gospel into our souls so that we're born again and we become this productive tree, as the imagery that Jesus uses. We're engrafted into the true vine. Now we're those branches that begin to grow and flourish in Christ. That's what God's saving grace is all about. That's the work that God does. But this also has to do with the fruit of our work. The fruit of God's work in our lives, that we're producing something. We're striving to produce what is good. But that flows, as the Heidelberg Catechism reminds us, not just in simple instances of goodness, but in a whole range of gratitude, that we are growing in gratitude. Sometimes we think about growing in grace. How do we display the fact that we're growing in grace? We do that in gratitude. And what does that gratitude look like? That's what we're considering this afternoon. We see the need for this growth in gratitude, the manner of growth in gratitude, and the goal of growth. So the need, the manner, and the goal of growth. First of all, the need to be bearing the fruit of Christ. This is necessary because it shows that we've been engrafted into the true vine. We've been engrafted. We by faith, by a true and a living faith, by a saving faith, have been grafted into Christ. There is a genuineness to this connection with Christ. And that's why I think beautifully the Heidelberg Catechism asks, what is involved with genuine repentance or conversion? Is it genuine? Has there been a genuine change in your life? Is there a true Christ-like development in your life? Are you changing, being conformed, fitting the passion, not being conformed to the patterns of this world, as Romans 12 tells us, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind? so we may be conformed to the image of his Son. This is so important today because there's many counterfeit changes, not true, genuine changes that take place in life. There are changes that we undergo for personal enhancement, to make me a better person, feeling better about myself. So we might make New Year's resolutions so that I diet and exercise because I want to improve my health condition. Or maybe I want to improve the way I think about myself. And one of the trendy ways today is forgiving myself. Forgiving myself, letting myself off the hook for so much that I haven't accomplished, so that I can cope with life's trials. Or maybe I don't want to change for my own enhancement, maybe I want to change for others. That I want to change so that I can better relate to others. I want to change to try and meet other people's expectations. I've let them down so much in the past. Trying to change so we're more friendly, more outgoing. Trying to change so that we're accepted by others. Question answer 91 identifies what are some counterfeit measures of growth. It's what we think is good, or what we think is right. Or we identify good based upon our ideas, or popular ideas, or established human tradition. We live in a day and an age where on the internet there's a number of people who are known as influencers, who have a following of thousands or millions of people. I think generally if you have millions of followers, you're regarded as kind of a de facto influencer. It means you have people want to hear what you have to say, and what you have to say will be helpful for them as these influencers give their opinions about life or give their ideas about a particular field that they're experienced in. Just in the news today, there was talk of a doctor who's moving to Invercargill from the United States, who's an influencer, and she's got 2 million followers because she has straight talk about medical issues. And she has a following on social media. And they tell us what they think is good. And they want to change us. That's what influencers are. They want us to think differently about ourselves, differently about the world in which we live. And these are counterfeit measures of what is good. We need genuine change. And the only way you can change truly, genuinely, is by union through faith, true faith, with Jesus Christ. That is our fundamental need for growth. This is what Jesus is saying. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You see, the fundamental need for growth, the thing that's going to make it genuine, is that connection to Christ. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For, and here's the reason, apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, what's behind this need for growth? What's basic to this need is the work of Jesus Christ. Gratitude doesn't happen in a vacuum. Gratitude doesn't happen by education. Gratitude doesn't arise from circumstances and situations in which we live. Gratitude doesn't flow from me just changing my outlook on life. Gratitude flows, the need for the growth in gratitude flows from the need for Christ. That we need to be connected with Christ. Without Christ, we can't have genuine growth in gratitude. Then what is the manner of growth? What is the type of growth that's going to flow, the growth of gratitude? And the Heidelberg Catechism identifies it as two things. And notice these are hyphenated words. It's the dying away of the old self and the coming to life of the new. Big words that can help us understand this are mortification. You know, a mortician is someone who takes care of dead bodies. Mortification. We have to die away of the old self. It's the dying away of the old self. And it's the coming to life of the new, vivification. Someone who's vivacious is someone who's very lively. And that's what it is, mortification and vivification. It's dying away of the old self and the coming to life of the new. And as we think about this manner of growth in gratitude, these two ways in which we're going to grow in gratitude, we must recognize how contrary this is to so much of thinking today, so many ideas that people have. I need to hate my sin and my old self. What does it mean to die the dying away of the old self? I hate it more and more. I hate sin. I'm genuinely sorry for the sins that I've committed. I'm sorry for who I am and who I've become under Adam. And I run away from it. Now again, this doesn't happen without awareness of, first of all, our need of Christ. You see, without a certain faith in the work of Jesus Christ, without a certain awareness of what He has done, and a faith union with Him, this is probably one of the most threatening aspects of Christian growth and Christian awareness of gratitude. It seems so contrary, doesn't it? How will you grow if you're dying away? You would think it completely silly of me to suggest if you want to grow veggies in the garden, you plant your seeds, and as they're springing up and as they're starting to put out their blossoms, kill them. And you'll have a better harvest. That's ridiculous. We want to keep them alive. We want to keep them from dying. And so we water them, we fertilize them, we hope that they have sunshine, and we want to see them grow. We want to do everything to keep them from dying. And yet growth in the Christian life and the manner of growth includes dying. Now we can only make sense of that, we can only understand that when we're thoroughly convinced of what Christ has done. Do you see that our confession of Christ's resurrection from the dead, the fact that we believe that Christ rose from the dead, is the only guarantee that death produces growth? When we're confessing the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're not simply stating historical facts that there was a time in which Jesus died and He rose again from the grave. Romans 6 tells us that we've been united to Him by faith, we've been united to Him in His crucifixion, and we've been united to Him in His burial, and we've been united to Him in resurrection. So that if I die to my old self, if I'm willing to die to that old self because I've been united by faith to Jesus Christ, there is new life on the other side of that death. In fact, this tells us why we should die. We die to the old self, not because we want to be better people, but we die because we want to participate daily in Christ's resurrection. It is only in union with Christ that this manner of growth can take place. Because it's this twofold reality that He is the guarantee and the presence of the Holy Spirit is the down payment that death will produce growth. And because in Christ, this genuine repentance through death, through the manner of dying away to the old self, produces true life, and it includes the coming to life of the new. The coming to life of the new. Now, when we read this, what is the coming to life of the new self? It is the wholehearted joy in God through Christ, and a delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to do. Do you hear Christ in that? Who was filled with a wholehearted joy in God, whose food and drink was to do the will of His Father in heaven, who, for whom it was a delight, even if it required His death on the cross, His death under the curse of the Father, was pleased to do every kind of good that God wanted Him to do. This is why Jesus in chapter 15 can go right back. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. But the manner of growth is dying away with a confidence in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that there will be the coming to life of the new self. But not just any life, but a Christ-like life. A Christ-like life that finds joy and hope and goodness in God. A wholehearted joy in God. A delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to do. Because God wants us to do it. And this manner of growth through mortification and vivification, through a dying away of the old self, a hating of sin, a turning from it, a fleeing away from it, and the coming to life of the new, something that happens through Jesus Christ, because we've been engrafted into Him, it's going to change, thirdly, it's going to change our goals. It's going to change our goals. What is the goal of growth? What is the goal of growth? To do every kind of good as God wants us to do. Every kind of good. So what is good? Again, our measure of good, our goal for growth is not what we regard as good, but what does God regard as good? God wants us. We're in His workshop. Ephesians 2, verse 10. We have been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to walk in them. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We're in His workshop. And what are those three things? What do we do that is good? Those things which arise out of true faith. This is question and answer 91. It's three things. I teach my catechism class. It's the three M's. It's the means. It arises from true faith. It's the measure. It conforms to God's law. And it's the motive. It's done for His glory. The means. It arises from true faith. Without faith, Hebrews 11 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It arises from true faith. It arises from a connection with Christ. Apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing but in me. Philippians 4, in Christ we can do all things. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. The goal of growth is by faith to be connected to Christ and have that true faith producing fruits of gratitude. The goal of growth is by true faith to produce works that glorify God, works that God regards as good. And what is the measure of good? It conforms to God's law. And I think this is one of the most intimate teachings of Jesus. And this is why it flows on. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. What a way to glorify God. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. See, his commandments aren't burdensome. Aren't just a constant duty that we need to be engaged in. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, just as Jesus saw how good it was to do the Father's will, so it is for us. And Jesus' goal is, these things that I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you. You hear the connection again. This is what keeps us joyful in obedience. This is where there's this wholehearted joy in God through Christ, that our obedience isn't, oh, God is holding back from us what is good. That's the lie of the devil. That's the lie that he tempted Eve and Adam with in the Garden of Eden. God knows why he doesn't want, or why he doesn't want you to disobey. No, Christ tells us joy, true joy, is found in obedience. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So we have the means. It arises out of true faith. The measure, it conforms to God's law. Lastly, the motive. It's done for his glory. This brings glory to God. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Give up your life. You are my friends if you do what I command you. It's done for God's glory. It displays the work of Jesus Christ. This is what's behind God's election. God has a purpose to glorify his grace in our gratitude. Gratitude is not about personal enhancement, about how we should be grateful because of all that we've received. We should be grateful. We should be grateful because of all that Christ is and has done. Our growth in gratitude flows from a need that we have for connection with Jesus Christ. A manner of dying away and coming to life of the new self, which shows the presence of Christ in our life, that we're not scared to address our sin and to die to self. Because we know the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we experience that in the growth of gratitude. And maybe here we need to consider then one last aspect of our growing in gratitude. And that is a confidence and a comfort that God's work takes time. Maturity and growth in grace isn't instantaneous like the influencers on social media. It takes time. It takes commitment. It takes suffering. It takes struggle. But ultimately, this is what the Father calls us to. This isn't just another duty that God has given to us. It is a duty, but it's much more than a duty. And maybe that helps us to listen to what Jesus says, not only as an encouragement, but also as a promise. A promise. A promise that you will bear much fruit. Whoever abides in me, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If that's a promise, then it's only natural that Jesus would say in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask the Lord. Pray for gratitude. Gratitude that needs a connection with Christ, that displays the presence of Christ in dying and living the new life, and has as its goal not what is based on what we think is right or on established human tradition or based on popular opinion or historical commitments, but that which flows from true faith, conforms to God's law, and is done for his glory. There is Christ-like gratitude.